Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everyone. Summer breakfast with Joel and Fletch. Not Fletch today. We have a replacement. Interchange card has come out, and this hulking man from one big man to another. Biggest quads in Sydney, I reckon. The great missile. I feel like a couple of young fellas doing their best from Port Macquarie. It feels like 2MC. Remember 2MC?
Yes.
How are you, missile?
Actually, no, up in Port Macquarie, Joel. He probably would have been doing his thing when you were around. Strawny. It was Strawny's brekkie show. He's been on air in Port Macquarie for the best part of 30 years, I think. Retired this year. Guess who took over?
Who?
His son. Strawny 2.0. That's how it works in Port Macquarie.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
I tell you what, it's easily get confused in Port Macquarie. I reckon in Port Macquarie, and hello to all the listeners up there listening via the app, I reckon Port Macquarie... And Port Macquarie Pearl listens, by the way, would have the most roundabouts in Australia. Would you say that?
Easily. And still none of the locals know how to use them.
That's right. We say hello, however you're tuning in. We mentioned the app, the SEN app. You can download the SEN app at the App Store or the Google Play Store. We say hello to our listeners through Sydney, 11:70 a.m, 6:93 in Brisbane, 16:20 on the Gold Coast. And maybe you're listening belatedly. Maybe it's a Saturday morning for you as you listen to this Friday morning show on the podcast. Motorola Open Line, we play Ears Up Radio here, not Eyes Up Football, missile, Ears Up Radio. We're here to listen to our listeners, so call through on the Motorola Open Line, 1300 01 1170. You can check out the latest smartphones from motorola.com.au. Now, it's been a long week, missile, and each and every morning I've turned up, I've got quite early here, and there's a car waiting for me in the parking lot. That car wasn't there this morning. And I've been consistent with my arrival time. He's battered and bruised and fresh from the chili peppers. Brooksy, wake up.
Oh, gentlemen, listeners, it was great. It was good. I've got that under my belt going and coming home by 12:30. But it was a great gig. A mate went to the Brisbane gig. He sent me through the set list. They did a totally different set list in Sydney, but they can because they've got so many hits.
Mm.
Like it was like Soul to Squeeze, Californication, By the Way, the songs that you would have heard. And it was full. It was absolutely full. Kiedis was good. He stayed on, like last time I went, he sort of drifted off from time to time.
Is he clean skin at the moment or is he bender mode?
I think he's clean. Yeah. Okay. But
Post Malone, supporting act.
He was great. Post Malone and Flea were great entertainment throughout the night. And that's what, like, I was thinking about how many bands have the lead singer, who obviously he's the voice of the band, but you've got Flea and Chad Smith, the drummer, who looks exactly like Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
like,
really?
A dead ringer. Like, they could be twins. But, like, they bring so much to the band other than Anthony Kiedis. Mm. And John Frusciante is really good. He's an amazing guitarist. So the four of them, and they just like work off each other. So even when the songs are done and they just start riffing, like Flea and John will riff together, or Chad and Flea will riff with the drums and the guitar and the bass. And it's just like a really good entertainment spectacle, the Chili Peppers, when they're on.
What's the crowd like at a Chili Peppers gig this day and age? Because you're more your age, like 30s, 40s?
It's three generations.
Young kids as well.
You could see there was people in their 50s and 60s.
They
and
go
you
hard.
Saw kids.
What does a 50-year-old do at a concert? Do they go hard?
Oh, then, yeah.
But they're on their feet or just sitting down?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think the thing is they've got that versatility where they've got that old like rock, like heavy, like sort of punk rock sort of vibe. But then they've got a few albums that are a bit slower as they've got older.
Mm.
And, you know, you're sort of just like swaying and bobbing and, you know, you're not really getting into it a la Post Malone, which
is
sort of...
standing seats or were you...
I was
like,
sitting.
Were you mosh pit or...
No, we were in the front row of the seats, but... You know, you depict what happens, right? Because if you stand, everyone else stands. So some of the big older songs got up for. But, yeah, it was a great experience. They're worth seeing, Dan. I know you're going later in the week, and you might have a different set list of what Brisbane and we had, but there's still plenty of songs to be had.
If you go to a concert, Joel, do you get up on your feet and sing the songs, or are you a bit more reserved? And I always find you kind of got to match the energy of your missus when you go to these things.
Oh, yeah.
We got asked one time, so we were at, I was at a Maroon 5 concert, not my proudest moment. Went with the missus because she's a big fan, but we got seats. We got seats in this box at one of the stadiums at Homebush. And we're in the front row of this box, and my missus is up on her feet dancing and singing. And the hosts of it, whoever the sponsor was or whatever, came and asked her to sit down.
At a concert.
So I always feel awkward because she brings like full bore energy to these things.
Yeah.
And I kind of half-assed.
But was she sort of one out of, say, 30 people around her up and about? That makes it hard.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that makes... I'm sort of thinking wines might have played a part in this. Is that right? Yeah. We need to introduce our man, Lieutenant Dan, a.k.a. the regurgitator, says Brian Fletcher. Now, this is... You've heard of David Copperfield, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's he renowned for being a great what?
Magician.
A great magician, right? I tell you, he's under siege because our man, Lieutenant Dan, he hosts a program called The Tradie Hour.
Yeah.
He knows nothing about any kind of trade, right? And the best part is, so therefore he's trying to get through talking sport. So he's hosted this morning's show, knowing nothing about trades when it comes to the Tradie Hour. And how many balls of the Big Bash did you watch, Dan?
I stayed up for all of it, Joel. No, I didn't catch much of it. Did you watch much of it?
None, you said.
Yeah. How much did you watch?
I watched the bulk of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really? How are you, Lieutenant?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, outstanding. But
you
I'll get better.
You survived the week. Well done.
Yes. 1300 011 70 is the way to have your say. Bakes has been there from the get-go. He's drawn barrier one and he's about to charge out of the gates. Hello, Bakes.
G'day, boys. How we doing?
We're going good, Bakes. What's happening?
Mate, Missile, how excited are you about Josh Reynolds getting his top 30 spot?
Oh, yeah, pumped, Bakes. That was a really nice video. They did did you see this, Joel? They did the slideshow presentation.
Fantastic.
They said this guy's got the dog in him.
And then
to announce Josh Reynolds. I think it's a fairy tale story, Bakes. I just hope he gets on the field at some point this year as well.
I think if he gets on the field, it'll be like when he played at Belmore against Melbourne and he came off the bench, the crowd just went ballistic.
Yeah, yep. I was at that game. Do you remember that, Joel?
I do.
Yeah, so they like chaired him off on their shoulders. I think it was going to be one of his last games for the Bulldogs, but this time he's back. I reckon Origin time, Bakes, when Burton goes to play 5-8 for New South Wales. There you go, early prediction.
Ooh.
I'm calling Josh Reynolds into the halves for the Bulldogs.
A mate of mine that's a Bulldogs supporter, he's totally off the idea. He's totally off it.
See, that'd be swimming against the tide, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. He thinks the money would have been better spent on a younger player who's probably going to get a go.
Yeah.
But, Bakes, my thing is this, right, is, and I think Dale Finucane's played a major hand, and Sonny Bill Williams is credited with the, I know he played terrifically well in 2013 to win the comp for the Roosters, but they say the key thing for Sonny Bill Williams was him turning up, raising standards. And if you're getting 1% extra or 2% extra out of the whole group, how effective that can be. And Dale Finucane's clearly done that at the Sharks. I think Josh Reynolds, his part for Canterbury, Bakes is doing that.
Just the energy that he brings, I think, is enough. Like, that's 100%. 100% the energy he brings, it'll lift at that 1% or 2%, which is, you know, what they need.
Yep, I totally agree, Bakes. Any tips? I know you like your ponies. Any tips you like for the weekend?
Oh, probably go with Mossy's one in Newcastle tomorrow, the Halo in the last.
Oh, yeah. Big win too, first up. It was at a big price, $17, I think it was. Bakes, enjoy your Friday. Appreciate the call. And, I think Josh Reynolds also is a terrific signing. 1300 011 70, the Motorola open line. Morning Immortals. Protest. Lismore, New South Wales puts Port Macquarie to shame when it comes to roundabouts. Iron Bronco. I didn't know that Lismore was sick for that.
You ever been to Lismore?
Yeah, I have.
Did you ever go to the... We used to do like sports camps up there or whatever. I think we played football up there as well.
Not Lake Ainsworth.
No. At that private boys' school up there, is it like Woodlands?
St John's. St John's Woodlawn.
Yeah, Woodlawn.
Yeah.
We had to do a few camps. We stayed at Woodlawn. I'll tell you what, that's one of the great... Dives.
Hello to all the listeners from Woodlawn.
Were they perennial Commonwealth Bank Cup?
Oh, weapons
high
in
school?
The Combank
you
Cup.
Would see, like, oh, they're through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Or semis?
We would as MacKillop High School in Port Macquarie. Yeah. That was the Catholic high school. We'd do the Arrive Alive Cup. First round might be like Port High or Westport High. Like we'd get through that. Second round maybe Camden Haven or something. Get through that. Third round Woodlawn. And they do like scholarships for football players, country football players, and we just get towed up by them.
Yeah. I've got a feeling the former Manly player Albert Torrens might have come through St. John's Woodlawn. Anyway, have your say. Now, boys, today, gee, time flies. Today, have we got that little clip there, Dan, of a little song that I grew up with? But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. Okay, American Pie.
Don, how old are you?
Well, this is the thing. So Don McLean, right? So do you know what this song's about, Missile?
No.
So the song is called The Day the Music Died, and this song relates to the plane crash of Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. So what would happen was they were on this tour, and the conditions were brutal, to the point where they're getting to the later stages of the tour, and Buddy Holly, who was the biggest star of the lot, he said, I've had enough of this. Mm. We're done with the bus. I'm going to charter a plane. So Buddy Holly organises a plane, but there's only two other seats. So in the end, the Big Bopper was really, really crook. So Waylon Jennings says, you know what, Bopper, you can have my seat. So he gives the seat to the Big Bopper, and he says to Buddy Holly and to the Big Bopper, and I hope your plane crashes, right? This is Waylon Jennings, gives up his seat. Yep. He was one of the senior statesmen, gives up his seat. So there's one seat left, and it's between Richie Valens and the other person is Tommy Allsup, and it came down to a coin toss. Richie Valens won the coin toss. He decided to jump on the plane. So on the plane, it's the Big Bopper, Buddy Holly, and Richie Valens.
Yeah.
On this day in 1959, the plane crashed. All three and the pilot died in Iowa, and that's the day the music died. These big stars dying in a plane crash. So it made me think that song there, American Pie, that's the song I grew up with. You know, when I think about my upbringing, and you think about, you know, your parents back in the day and having a few drinky poos, and there's a song that always comes out.
For me,
American Pie is that song. We've all got that one song that we go back to. The day the music died for me, the American Pie. What's your one, Missile?
My dad was a big Beatles guy. In my younger years, he was real into Gary Glitter and the Glitter Band, but then he had a fall from grace.
A big fall.
Gary Glitter.
So he was a big Beatles man. So all their greatest hits, like, and we would often be driving from Port Macquarie down to Sydney for swimming events and stuff, and he had control of the cassette player, and it was Beatles all the way to Sydney.
Yeah.
I remember back then it used to take 5.5-6 hours. Remember, you used to go over Bulladilla Mountain.
That's
and there was
right.
a shocker of a drive.
So Nabiac.
Nabiac. Yeah. We'd have 6 hours of Beatles. So, and I actually ended up playing. We did a big school musical, and it was basically music across all the ages. And I ended up being lead singer of the Beatles doing She Loves Me.
Oh, really?
On stage, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the primary school musical.
Oh, James Lennon. How good's that? What about you, Lieutenant Dan?
Yeah, my dad was a big Rolling Stones man. So I was actually lucky enough to see the Rolling Stones at a core in about 2005. So, yeah, all their big hits always got played in our house when I was young. Great band. Still going as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. So let us know. What was the song that you just, it's synonymous with your upbringing. What was yours, Brooksy?
Hotel California, the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Like that riff, that, to start it. No, I'm not going to do it. But, it was that album, Hotel California. That
Desperado.
A lot. Yeah.
Sounds like all our parents were a similar age demographic.
Mm. Yeah,
I heard that quite a bit growing up as well.
That's
and I
a
heard
great
American
tune.
Pie.
Even just like going back to the concert last night, some of the sounds of the Chili Peppers, it just reminded me, like Under the Bridge, I remember when I was little, trying to record songs off the radio on a cassette, trying to get the good in and out and stuff.
Did you ever make a cassette mixtape for a girl at school?
No, I went to an all-boys school.
That's romantic.
Oh, that
you
is
went to an all-boys school?
Yeah, one of my mates got one. Yeah. We used to do CDs and stuff for each other.
Yeah.
It'd be like, it was in the Napster era.
Yeah.
You'd download, and it took you about 3 days to download an album.
Yeah.
So when you got an album from a friend, it was just like, they used not only their download speed, but 3 days of their time to burn a CD for you.
Yeah, I remember sitting there and like pressing stop, pause, like to try and record on the cassette player. And then that was the ultimate romantic gesture, right, is to give a mixtape to a girl at school. It spun me out when I moved to Sydney. See, coming from the country, no such thing as a same-sex school. And when I moved down to Sydney, lived with a couple of boys in Sydney who were swimmers, started talking to them about going to a same-sex school, and it just completely spun me out. Because at a co-ed school, you spend, I don't know, 80% of your time trying to impress the girls in class.
That's right.
I was like, what did you spend all your time doing? So much free time. That's probably why they get better marks.
Honestly, Miss Ola and I went to the same school up in Port Macquarie, and I came down, and it was, as you said, co-ed. I came down and went to the Dragon. So I went to Cogramaris Brothers, which was an all-boys school, and I immediately noticed the application. They were so far in front of us with our distractions up there in Port. They were so far in front of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit the open line.
Not behind us in other ways, Joel.
Nice wink too. This is the breakfast edition of The Run Home. The Missile Magnuson here. He's ready to rock and roll. Lieutenant Dan Brooks, he's struggling, but we'll help him through the next 2 hours and 40 minutes. A break and back with more. Stack of text messages, calls waiting there as well. We'll get to those just in a moment. Bondi Jack. He has come off the back fence and just ripped into the sixes. Hello to you, Bondi Jack. Have you started the Motorola open line 1300 01 1170? Just before we move on to the calls, Pipeline is underway in the WSL, and Steph Gilmore chasing number 9 world championship. She's in the water at the moment, Miss Olin. And there's a text here coming in from Brian from Bondi suggesting that the missile has been spotted surfing. Now, that's not what caught my attention.
Yep.
I don't believe I've ever seen this from a male, surfing in budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It is. It's true. Been going for a few surfs this summer, trying to get into it more. It's my first summer in Bondi.
Yeah.
I'm embracing the culture.
Not really. The culture's not surfing in budgies.
Well, I'm changing the culture.
Yeah.
Making it acceptable. I've got a wetsuit, Joel. I've tried it on. It's too tight in the wrong places. And if you go a bigger size, it just lets water into the wetsuit, fills up, no good. So I've been surfing in board shorts. And then the other day, I was like, you know what? I could be a bit freer than this.
Yeah.
So I whipped off the board shorts in the budgie smugglers, paddled out the back, sat up on my board on the budgie smugglers. Nobody said anything to me. I got a few.
Nobody said anything to you at all? Like, did they completely distance themselves from you?
No, I was in the middle of the pack, sitting out the back there. But
are you comfortable in that environment? Are you happy? Sort of. Are you good with the surfing click? I'd feel totally out of it.
I did a lot growing up in Port Macquarie, so I know the scene and I know the etiquette and all of that stuff. So I'm pretty polite in the surf and I know how it all works. But I'm not good at surfing at the moment.
Right.
So I'm kind of trying to find my place in the hierarchy. When you sit out the back there, you got your local old boys who are really good. Then you got your really good young surfers.
Are they welcoming
surfers.
Or not really?
Nah, not welcoming. Not really at Bondi.
No.
So I'm trying to find my place in the scene. And a 6'5" guy in budgie smugglers probably doesn't help. I stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
there's not a lot of chat out the back there. People aren't paddling up and asking me how my day's been, but I enjoy it. And the freedom, I tell you, stand up in the budgie smugglers, letting it all hang loose.
Okay, I've got a solution for you. This will do two things, right? This will get you some street cred out in the water.
Yeah.
It will improve your performance, I've got no doubt about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but do you maintain the record for the fastest ever in a textile suit?
Yeah.
That's you, mate.
Wear a textile suit.
Textile suit. Ooh. Out on the surf. That's you, mate.
Yeah, I like it.
That's setting a trend.
I like it. That is setting a trend.
That's setting a trend. By the way, Miss Ola, I want to commend you here. I think it's totally understated. In 2011, you, for the first time, become a world champion. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
So I thought about that, and I thought, you're sharing the number one spot in the world with the likes of Novak Djokovic was number one in the world for tennis. Usain Bolt, number one. So you were number one for 100 metres in swimming, 100 metres on the land, Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Magnuson, Bolt, Djokovic, list goes on. It's bloody huge, mate.
Yeah, it's weird when you look back on it, and it honestly feels like a different lifetime now that I'm retired. But we did a few events around the time and stuff like that where they had like fastest men in the pool, fastest men on land and stuff like that with Usain Bolt. And at the time, you're so caught up in it, you don't even stop to think. And it's not now until, like, I do swim clinics and stuff for young kids. This time of year, I do a bunch. I was out in Camden the other day, Jimmy Smith's backyard, doing swim clinics with the kids. And when you say that line, like, you know, I was the fastest man in the world and, you know, the fastest man in history at the time, then you kind of reflect on it. You're like, that's bizarre. Completely bizarre.
Well, you think about, like, all the schools, you're trying to be the fastest in your school, in your age group.
Yeah.
But then you extend it to fastest in your school, full stop. Then you extend it to fastest in a region in Australia, any age, and then fastest any age in the world.
Yeah.
Mate, it's ridiculous.
It's one of those weird sports. It's like athletics where you go through the levels and you always get to a level and you go, there's a bigger fish in the pond. You know, you'd finally win the school carnival, then you go to zone and there's a faster kid from Kempsey or Taree.
Yeah.
Then you'd finally make it to state and then there's like five faster kids. No matter where you go, there's always a faster kid. And then you kind of, and I had this thing when I was 16, I won nationals for the first time. And I went to Wet and Wild.
Yeah, but that's in your own age group, isn't it?
That's
so,
in your own age group.
So somebody's won nationals above and below you and before
absolutely.
And after.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So I was 16 and won national age for the first time. Went to Wet and Wild with mum and dad. And we're standing in the line to go on a water slide. I said, Dad, do you know no matter where we go in Australia, there's no 16-year-old boys that could beat me in a swimming race? And he was like, son, that's so good. Like, I'm so proud of you. You've done really well. And I had this, the clearest of clear flashbacks when I was standing on the podium at the World Championships and the national anthem was playing. I had the clearest flashback to Wet n Wild that day.
Did ya?
Saying to my dad, no matter where I go in Australia, I'm the fastest 16-year-old swimmer.
Yeah.
And you have this really weird feeling where you're like, no matter where I go in the world, there's nobody that could beat me in a swimming race. And at that point in time, no matter where I went in history, there was no one that could have ever beaten
That's
me in
right.
a swimming race. And it's a very hard thing to get your head around, but I had the clearest flashback of fastest 16-year-old in Australia standing in the line at Wet and Wild to standing on the podium, fastest swimmer in history.
Wow. Mate, it's a great story. It truly is. 1300 01 1170. Chris from Rose Bay has been waiting. Hey, Chris.
How you going, guys? I just wanted to talk about the cricket last night. I think I thought the Sixers were just going to win it. I mean, based on the fact that the whole core of the Brisbane side's batting was taken away, and I was just staggered. But what I was more staggered about was the wicket last night. Mm. I mean, Jim Maxwell said maybe a month ago after the test against South Africa, he said that wicket has to be torn up. I was looking at it last night, and I was thinking, how in God's name, in a final of the Big Bash, they could produce a wicket like that at the SCG. It's a fantastic ground. It's got wonderful facilities. Can you explain to me how that wicket could have come to be last night?
What was wrong with it, Chris?
Well, you couldn't hit the ball.
They couldn't get off the square. I was saying that to Dan earlier here, like watching it last night. It was clear, and Dan Christian was having trouble with it as well. They just couldn't get it past the square, and we blame the wicket for that. Chris, we've got to go. Appreciate your call. 1300 01 1170. Now, this one, Dunny says, Missile, no one's welcoming at Bondi because no one's from there anymore. There's only like 10 locals, Brian being one of those.
I've never had a sighting of Fletch at Bondi still. I've been there almost a year now. I've never sighted him.
Mm.
He must keep weird hours, Fletch, I reckon, because I'm cruising about all the time. I'm thinking I'm going to bump into him. Never see him.
Please don't embrace the Bondi culture. The world doesn't need another A-grade, says Western Suits. get a room, Joel. Your love for Missile sounds sickling. Sounds like the JL interview, says Fitzy. Good morning, Jets. Dragon is the nostalgic band for me growing up. My old man
Dragon
would play them every Saturday morning. Rain. Rain is a great song.
Yeah. That was on Guitar Hero.
It's a great song. Dragon. Mitch from Oran Park, we appreciate that. Just one last one before we go to the news. James, Missile, do you regret not shaving your chest before the 100-metre final at London? Do you ever
think... Who are you, Dan? It messages in like every show. I don't know. Like, I shave down before every race.
So did you not shave down?
Mate, look at the footage. Shave clean.
What? Why is he saying that? Why are you saying that, Dan? 0.01. There
my
you
brother's
go.
Name, Dan. Is that my brother?
Could be your brother.
Who the hell Dan
Lieutenant
is.
Dan, take us to the news. Vanessa, thank you very much. Breakfast on SEN with thanks to Brighton's lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's lawyers. Sports update, thanks to Isuzu. Live your own way in the Isuzu MUX. Now, just looking at the WSL here, looks like Steph Gilmore is in a fair bit of trouble here. They participate in the heats in threes, and the surfer who runs third in the heats is gone. And it looks as though Steph may be in a little bit of Barney Rubble there as far as the heat is concerned. Speaking about the heat, no Barney Rubble for the heat of the cricket variety, upsetting the Sixers in the Challenger and winning by 4 wickets. Matt Kuhneman started for the heat, bowling restricted the heat, the Sixers rather. 9 for 116.
Ordinary.
No Steve Smith. Ta-da.
Yeah. Do you... Well, you said you watched last night, but have you kept a close eye across the season?
Well, no.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
Me neither.
Why say, would you say?
I watched a little bit when Smith and Usman and Marnus and those players were around, but the big thing for me, it goes too long.
Yeah.
I lose interest, and I don't feel a real connection to either of the Sydney teams. I think marketing-wise, they've maybe missed something there with tribalism, with identifying with the team. And if you're in New South Wales and you live outside of Sydney, who do you support? Because they're literally called the Sydney Thunder and the Sydney Sixers. Why wouldn't you go like the New South Wales Blues or something like that? Because there's no connection if you live outside of Sydney.
Very cool.
Well, the Thunder have tried to go down south and play in Canberra and Albury. And I see that's great, but you're branded as Sydney. Mm. And it's great that you're helping out other areas. But that's the problem that they've got, because they do represent an area. They've got Sydney. I think they should be Western Sydney Thunder and draw a line in the city to create some of what, I guess, what the NRL's got, where you've got teams of different parts of Sydney. You've got Western Sydney Wanderers and Sydney FC. There's a
See,
line
that works.
There.
Yeah,
there's a line
works.
There. The derbies.
What about
well.
Just simply being Thunder, the Thunder? Yeah. So not being Sydney Thunder. Would you prefer
New South
that?
Wales Thunder.
Yeah, potentially.
The Sixers.
I mean, like, let's say, for example, Joel, you and I are living in Port Macquarie.
Mm.
We go, well, which team do you support? And in Sydney, they say, what is it, east or west of the Anzac Bridge? What if I'm 5 hours north of it and don't even know what the Anzac Bridge is?
Yeah.
Who do I support? And I think what that's done is people are supporting players more than teams. So people will tune in to watch Steve Smith or Dave Warner or whoever it may be. But the other thing I've noticed with the Big Bash, when it first started, we had a bunch of ex-stars still playing. So we had Brett Lee, Mitchell Johnson, Shane Warne. Mm. And that piqued my interest because I could no longer watch Shane Warne in the Test arena. But, I can tune in. They got Shane Warne mic'd up bowling to Chris Gayle. Like,
Hussey
was
one of those.
That was, that was really cool. None anymore. None that I can think of. No big ex-Test stars that are mic'd up and, you know, piquing my interest to tune in. And the level of the international stars that they're getting now is way, way, way down on what it was at the start of the Big Bash.
The other thing is here for me, and this just seems logical, the grand final is coming up over the weekend. Take you on Perth. And we know the tour was going to happen for India. So therefore your Smiths, Labuschagnes, they're all gone.
Mm.
Why would the final have not been last week or the week before?
Exactly right. So we've had two lots of people or groups leaving the competition. We had the international guys that left after 6-7 games. We saw Chris Lynn leave.
Really weird.
So it's like, oh, don't go. Oh, no. And then we see our test stars go again.
Yeah.
You know, halfway through the finals. They were even extended to because they were like, oh, we need Smith to play in this first game. We need the Brisbane Heat guys to keep playing before. Andrew McDonald was like, no, don't worry. You can prepare a little later. Just play this game, because they knew how important it was, because they were getting amazing crowds to the Sydney Smash where you could see David Warner and Steve Smith go against each other.
Yep.
They've got an issue there. Like, because if people are leaving something like and you're trying to buy in to watch it, why? Why are you going to watch it if you're seeing stars leave? It's like if you're watching a TV show and you're loving it and the stars leave for season two, you're not necessarily going to go watch it. Or a second movie or something. Like, it's just, you got to keep people watching. You're going up against not only other sports, but other entertainment factors.
Missile,
like,
do you, I know the broadcasters would not love this conversation, but would you prefer rugby league if it was just play everyone once, 16 rounds, 17 teams? As a rugby league fan, less is more. Like, would you love the game more, you think, if it was reduced to just 16 rounds as a hypothetical?
Yes.
Similar to the NFL.
Yeah, well, I think that's the one thing you get with the off-season, right? Like, I'm so hungry for rugby league to come back now. By round 24, or that little period post-origin, my interest is waning a little bit. And yeah, as a Bulldogs fan, and this is quite relatable for anyone whose side can't make the top eight, by the time Origin's over, you know you can't make the top eight. I'm only really watching it for the gambling aspect.
Yeah, that 8 weeks is a tough carry, isn't
it? Tough carry.
That's the toughest carry. Oh, because you carried forward with the Origin and all that chat. You're exactly right. Anyway, have your say. But the Big Bash final is the Heat taking on the Scorchers, so we're looking forward to that as well. Steph Gilmore, I think may be gone. We'll get confirmation on that as well. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. The missile straight into the marketing department for the BBL, says Andy. There you go.
Oh, reach out, and not you, Steve Phillips. Next time I get a call or a message. Actually, I got one the other day, Brooksy. I got a message from
Dan Lane, wasn't
it? Yeah, the media manager from the Thunder. Yep. And straight away, I'm thinking it's another stitch-up. I'm looking at that, I'm going, this is Steve Philp on a burner phone. I'll never trust it again.
We'll get to that a little bit later on, I think. This one coming through. We're talking about rumours. Fletch loves a rumour, and it just kicked off. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he said, he's going to the Roosters. That's what Brian Fletcher is sharing.
They were
anyway
running that on all the news stations based off his...
Off him.
That's amazing.
What's the world come to when journalism comes down to something that Brian Fletcher's saying? By the way, Alan Wilson, who's a former Shark New South Wales player, he's listening to us on a treadmill in Caringbar at the moment, and he said Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to the Sharks.
Really?
Ooh, that's what he's
at
saying.
At fullback?
Well, I don't know.
I'd like that.
Yeah, it'd have to be.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah, I'd love that. Anyway, have your say. There has been a protest against themselves here. Thank you, Missile, and I'm sorry, mate. I meant no offence. I've just heard it over and over again at my daughter's swimming carnivals over the years, etc. It's like an urban myth that you lost that day because you didn't shave. Sorry, guys. Should have known better not to believe in rumours and just Google it. So Dan has since gone to check out your chest hairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's unconfirmed reports.
I wonder where that started. Yeah. I don't know.
Wollongong Spanky has no BBL team. Surely Joel Dolphins Kane doesn't think people will be more attached to just Thunder or Sixers. James is right. BBL is too long and lacks stars. I've been shocked by people's support for the BBL team. Kids' merchandise sales have been amazing. Thanks for the Herman, says the Herman SES. He says Spanky. Morning, boys. I agree with the missile. BBL season just too long. Besides, when it starts to clash with Survivor and Maths on TV, it's an issue.
That's me. Maths. Yep.
Loved it in early January, but well over it now, says Glenn. Cricket and Big Bash can just, you know what, bring on the NRL, says the Kingswood Welder. 3 switchboard upgrades today, booked in till 10 p.m. for the cutover. About to catch up all the potties from the week. Have a good day, Throbbers, says Bronco Willie.
Throbbers.
That'll do me. Dan googling missile in the morning. Hope he had no morning, yes, says Dunny. And thanks, James, for the Grafton tip the other day. Noosa Bronco.
Yeah, noble missile. It was in the last race at Grafton. We were talking to Sean Omerod from Sportsbet. I said, you got a tip for me, Sean? And he was floundering. He said, oh, you put me on the spot, missile. I don't have anything. I said, well, here's one for the listeners. Race 7, Gosford, noble missile, paying $4.50. I think hadn't won in its last 4 starts. Boom, gets up.
Wooshka.
Did it shave, though, before the race?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Ask Dan.
Better than Fletcher's tip. He's the only person I've ever met, Brian Fletcher, who's tipped a 58 runner maiden. This horse had ran 58 times, never won, and he was declaring it. Anyway, 1300 01 1170. That went viral as well, like the Roger Tuivasa-Sheck thing. I think it might have the same outcome. This is the morning edition of The Run Home. Breakfast on SEM with thanks to Brighton's Lawyers.
Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.